This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry coming to you today with a continuation of our message that was started last month, June 2023. This is the message for July of the year 2023. And we're going to go into our subject scriptures, which is taken from the book, or rather the letter of 1 Peter, chapter number 2, verses 9 and 10. And we'll find these words recorded. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, keep in mind of that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Our subject title is The Odd Bunch, part number 2. Now, as I said, when I left off last month, I was talking about how a certain political party back in the 70s took up the cause of women's rights, among which was the idea that women and girls in sports deserved the same benefits and pay as their male counterparts. What they came up with was an amendment known as the Equal Rights Amendment, or the ERA. Women jumped behind it to get it passed because it would secure the rights of future generations of female rights in the Constitution. However, it failed to pass. Jump ahead to today, and what do we have? This same political party that was their champion, talking about women's champion, has now embraced a new group of people that, if laws are passed, will essentially remove women and girls from contention for the benefits and pay equity that they sought for almost 50 years or so ago. And what was this group? Or what is this group? It is transgender girls and women. To break it down, it is biological males, boys and men, that are identifying themselves as women that have infiltrated girls' and women's sports. Now, what is the consequence of this? Well, since they still have all the physical attributes of males, as far as testosterone and muscle mass, they are easily able to outperform women in just about all sports where physical strength and stamina are required for success. But there is one part of this law that does not sit well with most decent folks. Because they identify themselves as females, They claim they can't go into a restroom with males because they don't feel safe. So the only alternative in most places that only have restrooms for men and women is to allow them to go into the women's restrooms. Now, mind you, these are biological males that still have all their original body parts being allowed into women's restrooms. Imagine one of these individuals in the restroom with women, or worse yet, in the restroom with little girls. Do you see the problem? A group of college girls recently, within the past month or so, sued the sorority they belonged to because it accepted one of these individuals into its group and living quarters. A couple of the girls said that this individual showed signs of arousal while around them, talking about sexual arousal, in case you don't know what arousal they're talking about. The point is, most of the world thinking is acceptance of all groups, which, while it seems good, ignores the idea that groups are made up of either males, females, or a combination of both. When you try to form another group outside of these two genders, you are going to have a disaster somewhere down the road. Those of us that are the odd bunch saw this problem long before it became popular because of the insight we get from God. That is what the anointing does. Decades ago, when the gay community started its push for rights, the world, led by a lot of preachers with degrees, began to accept the idea of what they wanted. This was for the sole purpose of appeasing them and showing the love of God or Christ. However, as I said earlier, this was nothing more than cutting the top of the problem off while leaving the root intact. Now the problem has mushroomed into this monstrosity that has become a threat to all women and girls. And the sad part is, it was women and girls that campaigned on behalf of them, these transgender males and things. Now they see what is becoming a huge problem for them and their daughters. This is the problem with the majority worldly or carnal way of doing things. They deal with what is above the ground. They have no idea what is going on underground at the root. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end leads to death, misery, and destruction. You can find that in the Bible, Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 12, and Proverbs chapter number 16, verse 25. Both of them say the exact same thing. This is what the odd bunch deals with. We deal with what this particular scripture here, because it lets us know that the way of the world is always going to be a disaster. Because it always seems good. But anyway, let me go on anyway. Because this is the spiritual side of the problem that the world and the carnally minded preachers don't know anything about. They can't know about it because they went to schools and seminaries and so forth that basically offered titles in ministry, but they were world, you know, they had a worldly mindsets and followed the ways of the world in their curriculums and so forth, so they turn out preachers that are corrupted by this same sort of nonsense, and the result is what you have now with these preachers carnally being carnally minded and don't know anything about the spiritual side of the problems. Another example is abortion. Once again, it has to do with women's rights. This has to do with what they call a health issue. They claim that the choice to have a child should be left totally to them. Well, while most women once again claim it as a health issue, the odd bunch see it from a totally different standpoint. And because we do, once again, we are accused of waging a war on them, talking about these women that want to support abortion or be pro-choice. If you will go back in time and look at where all of this started, it has its roots in the 70s as part of the ERA amendment, or the Equal Rights Amendment that I mentioned earlier. It was back then that most women who for decades before that had to endure their husbands and boyfriends sleeping around with other women while they, the women, basically remained faithful to them. However, during the early 70s, many women, being fed up with the actions of their significant others, they had a right to this now, you know. I'm not saying that the men were somehow or other not guilty in what happened here, but the thing is this, it wasn't right for the men to be doing what they were doing. But anyway, the women decided that if men could do it, then they should be able to do it also. So that is what they started doing. However, there was a problem. A lot of them wound up pregnant. That pregnancy put them in the position of explaining how they got pregnant, especially if their significant other was not able to get them pregnant. In other words, if a man cheated on a woman, it was hard to prove without a whole lot of evidence and witnesses. However, a pregnancy proves beyond a doubt that the woman cheated in the above case, being with a man that was impotent and couldn't impregnate her. If she wound up getting pregnant, the man automatically knew it wasn't by him, or it couldn't have been by him, so that made her guilty. Anyway, going on a little further, it also proves that a woman or a girl has had sex when she claims she didn't. Well, the world says this is unfair for her to be handicapped by pregnancy while men can get away scot-free. believe you though, men aren't getting away scot-free. Not in the long run, because if they can get away down here, what appears to be scot-free, they still got to answer to God for it in the first place. But anyway, in this case here, their solution, these women's solution, was to get rid of the child, or rather, not to the women per se, even though it was women, but, you know, doctors and things like that decided on a solution to get rid of the child or the evidence through what it was known as abortion. Of course, there was a stigma attached to aborting or killing a child. Their response was to change the classification of the child in the womb to fetus. This action essentially removes the idea that what is being aborted is not a child, but a thing. That way, the people would lose sight of it being a child and start looking at it as something like a tumor. However, while the educated fools in the pulpits seem to have no problem with this type of thinking, those of us in the odd bunch see the spiritual side of the problem, and it spells disaster. The reason being, it completely ignores one major thing, and that is the root, which says, what does God have to say about it? The odd bunch, as I said earlier, seem to just want to be at odds with what should be common sense of the majority of the world. However, it is the world that has lost its mind thanks to educated preachers that see their positions as a means to obtain a paycheck. The odd bunch sees the fact that since God is in control of everything, meaning nothing good or bad can happen without his say-so, then that means every problem that we are facing in our society today has at its root God's support or direction. We see the fact that when God is pleased by our actions, we get blessed by him and everything goes well. On the other hand, if he is not pleased with us, then trouble will be the result. And that is the root of our problems. We are going along our merry way without any consideration of what God has to say about it. That is the light that we, the odd bunch, walk in. When any person is supposed to be representing God, and they go ahead and they go along with what the world considers the way to go, the people tend to believe that God goes along with it. And when that happens, those that know better become the subject of ridicule. That is the darkness that they walk in. They can't see the connection between the problems we face and their response to them because of these educated preachers. And to reiterate, I am talking about preachers that have been educated in schools of higher learning that have absolutely no concept of the spiritual side of our existence. When any individual, group, or whatever chooses to go against the rules that are set by God, you are headed for trouble. The worse the sin or offense, the worse the problem. And right now, the world is racking up astronomical quantities of these sins and offenses and is paying the price, thanks once again to these preachers. How many of you know that we are told emphatically to separate ourselves from the world? Here are a few scriptures that you need to take heed to or take to heart. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them," talking about those that walk in darkness, "and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." James chapter 4, verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Do you see that right now? No doubt about it. Whosoever therefore is a friend of the people that walk in darkness, that have no regard for God, you are an enemy of God. And if you are an enemy of God, that spells disaster for you. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 15. "My son, walk not thou in the way with them," talking about the ungodly or those that are walking in darkness, "refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed." Verse number 17, "Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Verse number 18, "And they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives." In other words, what this is simply saying is that when you do stuff like this, you are essentially setting the trap that's going to cause you to fall into it and destroy you. That's basically what it's saying. Psalms chapter number 84 and verse number 10 says, "For a day in the courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness or darkness or the ways of the world." All of these scriptures are basically saying the same thing. Don't be a part of those that are walking in darkness. And unfortunately, we got a lot of educated preachers that are doing exactly that. These scriptures and many more, not to mention the entire theme of the Bible, is to tell people not to join themselves to anything that has its root in worldliness. That means ungodliness, darkness, and unrighteousness. The reason being is that they all will lead you to destruction. It can't be reiterated or repeated enough. The reason for this separation is that you don't become contaminated by them. It's just like you should not be hanging around with someone who has a contagious disease, because you would most likely catch it. Or you could pass it on to others. You would be surprised at how many people are involved in the darkness of this world based on what they have seen Christians do, or people that call themselves Christians. These are things that God's anointed know about, while the educated preachers are trying to incorporate darkness into the light of the Word of God. It is all about money, influence, and power. In fact, when it comes to money, we are told that in 1 Timothy chapters number 6, verse number 10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." In other words, you go after money and things like that, and even though that's a good thing to, you know, to go after money, but when it gets you to the point where you start going against what God says in order to get money, then you are in for some trouble. Big time. Now, behind every single move towards power and influence, you will find that they all have money empowering them. You can readily see that when you watch politicians campaigning for a political office. Their campaign successes are tied to how much money they can raise. The more money, the better. This then translates into the idea that if someone is going to give money into someone's campaign, then they expect the person to be doing something for them. Well, the same thing goes for these educated preachers who are looking for a paycheck. They will say and do just about anything to get it. And that usually means compromising on or completely ignoring the Word of God, which identifies them as antichrists. Next month, I will close by giving you a list of examples of how the world's darkness conflicts with the light of the Odd Bunch. Well, that's all for this message. This is Evangelist George McTyre, hoping that you have gotten something from this and you can see where we're going and see the problems that we're facing. But like I said, we'll get I'll give you some examples, a list of examples next month, just to show you just how bad things are. And until then, this Evangelist George McTyre signing out, saying may God bless you and your families real good. Be encouraged in the Lord. Good day.